Today, our people can see that we're faced with a government conspiracy. This government has failed us. The senators who are filibustering concerning your and my rights, that's the government. Don't say it, Southern senators. This is the government. This is a government filibuster. It's not a segregationist filibuster. It's a government filibuster. Any kind of activity that takes place on the
Yeah, we back, baby. True Colors Podcast. What's going on, man?
Yeah, man.
It's a rough one, man. It's been a rough couple days, man. Yeah, a lot done happened since we last came back, since we last went on. But it's your boy, D.U.B., here with Cobb, courtesy of Steady J, Dust by Radio, Blog Talk Radio. Today we got a different format. We're going to dive into it. Today's topic, is this the start of the new black revolution? What you think, Kyle?
Man, I hope it is, man. I mean, I think, you know, it's time for us to do something, man. I mean, we talk about this, you know, every week. I know a lot of other educated brothers and sisters out there talk about this almost every week, and I know, you know, it's a small minority of Caucasians that also feel, you know, the injustice that we have going on. You can see that by the protests. You know, it's not just black people out there. It's a multitude of different races that's out there. And I really hope so, man. I hope it's time that you know, we come together and, you know, build up our economic resources and really just, you know, start separating ourselves from the enemy, man. I mean, there's a lot of people out here, man, that's, you know, and I don't want to seem mean and stuff like that with the whole Dallas shooting, because, you know, you never want nobody to lose their life or nothing like that, man, but it's just like, damn, man. I mean, before that, we had two brothers get killed, and there wasn't no sympathy or compassion for them brothers. But once the two cops got killed, you know, I had Caucasians coming up to me, like, I'm going to cry with them. Like, you wouldn't cry with me a couple of days before. And it's not a competition or nothing like that, but it just shows you the lack of empathy that they have for when black men or black people in general get murdered.
Exactly. It's just, and these people are getting murdered for most of the time, no reason. You know, we had 559 police-related deaths this year in 2016, and it's only July the 10th. The year is barely halfway over, and we're headed towards over 1,000 deaths just by police alone at this rate. You know, that's scary, man. Like, the numbers don't lie. This is the country that we're living in, people. This is the injustices that we face every day. Like, even when we don't get killed, we still facing injustices. We still get harassed. We still get those looks, those, you know, the ongoing stereotype behavior towards us. I'd rather deal with that than getting killed, of course, but this is just stuff we have to go through every day that never gets talked about. And now it's all coming to a head. Now it's all coming to a head with these blatant murders on social media, and because they're not showing it on TV, by the way. Like, people are protesting this weekend all over the world, not just America, but they're protesting in London. They're protesting they're protesting in London. We got, was it Paris, States, that they're protesting in a lot of places right now for African-American rights. And for some reason, our enemy, which is the U.S. government, they refuse to broadcast this worldwide because they hoping it blows over like everything before. Like, they want it to blow over, and they don't take it seriously right now because they think we just go march and march until our feet get tired and go home. That's why this revolution can't just stop in the streets. It has to spill over onto the playing fields of the NFL and the MLB, the basketball courts, where we hold the most weight. You know, not just professional, but college, high school, middle school, like, you have to get their attention and let the enemy know how serious you are. You know, And it's just, I mean, we'll get into the solutions and all that later on in the show, but right now we're just laying it all out there, the problem itself, and how we pretty much feel about it, and the nonsense that occurs, that we have to constantly, can't treat people like crap and put them in a corner, expect them not to claw their way out. That don't make no sense.
I mean, we got protests right now going on in Chicago. We got one in New Orleans. We got one in Memphis. We got one in South Carolina, Minnesota, Atlanta. Like you said earlier, we got one going on in London. And I'm pretty sure it's multiple places where these protests is going on. But like you said, of course, the media won't portray it like that unless something bad happens. So, I mean, this is proving to you right now, like a majority of the states realize what's going on. It's just, unfortunately, the media and, you know, those Caucasians that just hold, you know, fester feelings for us in general, like those are the people that we're fighting against right now. You know, we've been in a mental war for years. You know,
right.
It'll start off, of course, physically, then they switch it more to mentally, and now with the killing, it's going back to physical. And, you know, this younger generation seems to have an idea on, you know, to where I guess when we were younger, you know, we had problems with it, but we really didn't quite know how to come together and band. And now with social media and the younger generations, you see all them coming together and making a stand. And I really do commend our younger generations to say we ain't having that shit no more.
Exactly. And that's what it's going to take, because they had the energy and lack of care for consequences, so to speak, than older people. You know, the younger you are, the more fearless you are. So these young people today are fearless, man. Just like Farrakhan said, they are dangerous not because they're animals or anything like that, because they're not. They're dangerous because they are fearless. You know what I mean? Like, they tired of it. Like, you can sit there and say, oh, they're young, they're black, because they don't have the resources and all this and that you withhold from them. They're not dumb. They know how to put together. They have intellect that can't be controlled by any means. Like, they see what's going on. They know that they're not being cared for by the U.S. government. They know they have to make a way for themselves, and this is how they're going about it. And I'm extremely proud of them, you know? Like, it's like we headed back, right back to the damn 60s. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, I wasn't alive in the 60s, but I'm pretty sure, you know, according to the history, it's starting to repeat itself. Now, hopefully, this outcome can have an even better resolution, you know what I'm saying, because they can't hide the things that they're doing anymore due to technology and the stuff that they gave us, and it's backfiring on them. You know what I'm saying? You see them, you turn on the TV, I'm watching CNN right now, and they're showing a documentary on some nonsense. Not nonsense, but nothing that's going on with the state of America right now. They're showing scheduled programming. Like, there's breaking news about nothing according to CNN. So unless you are tuned in to social media, which everyone is, then you know what's going on, but they don't want you to know. You know what I'm saying? They can't keep you away from technology just yet. But what I did see on CNN yesterday was pray for Dallas, pray for the cops. They had a whole montage set up for these police officers, not mentioning what led up to the protests in the first place. It's like, yeah. I watched it for almost 2 hours, and they did not mention it at all. They did not, nobody, no panelists, no comments, no tweets were made from CNN about what led to the protest in the beginning. Like, I gave them a fair chance. It's like, these people have to be called out on their BS. Like, this is ridiculous. It's like, you don't even care to show us. Why is that? Because they want us to be ignorant. They don't want us to know. They don't want us to see. They want us to be stupid. They want to spoon feed us what they're doing, just like they're doing the police. It's not just us. they spoon feeding the police this bullshit too when they go to those headquarter meetings. Like, what you think they telling them? They telling them to take down whoever. Like, these police officers, we get mad at them for not acting human. That's my thing about them personally. Like, they should know. You should have common sense. Like, I was watching the protest in Baton Rouge today. Like, these people are unarmed. Like, it's white girls out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would think that they would be the safest. They taking down little white girls with signs. Like, they tackling them, throwing them to the ground. These are kids. You know what I'm saying? So what you think they're going to do to us? Like, they got, the police are the only people with assault rifles and riot gear and bulletproof vests on and helmets. And the pedestrians are out there with signs. That looks like some Iraq shit. That looks like some Iraq shit, man. Like, this is America. You know what I'm saying? This is where we at. And CNN ain't got nothing for us, huh? You got to go on your phone and see what's going on, huh? This is what we're looking at right now. This is where we live in. You know, these are people. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing us like this. But the police are getting, since day one, they telling them what areas are the most dangerous. They telling them what to do, how to handle situations. Like, at police training headquarters in Dallas, when they do target practice, they use pictures of black men on their targets for target practice. Like, you don't think that registers in your psyche? This is what they're doing. Like, this is not a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? They are training our police officers to think like this. You know what I'm saying? Especially, particularly the white ones, because you don't see black police officers killing white people or hurting white people like this. You don't see it. And that's not a coincidence either. You know what I'm saying? So it's something going on from the higher-ups to our police department telling them to basically approach with caution, instilling fear into the police officers. That's all they're doing. They're making them scared, and the police officers are making us scared, and they want us to kill each other. So then they swoop down. All right, go ahead.
A lot of the problem is, though, like, you know, I've heard people say this, but, you know, the connection with it is when they say police has to start looking like the community. So, you know, in that case, what you have is you'll have people who understands how the black community works. Everything is not a threat in the black community. It's just when a white cop comes in, it doesn't register to them because they never seen it before. Like, they might not know about the CD man, like me and you know about the CD man that goes around in front of the store trying to sell you CDs. This guy's not a threat. He's just a person out there hustling, trying to make a little money. But, you know, once that's in our eyes because we're black and we've been in that community. You know, we were raised up around those type of things. You know what I'm saying? They haven't. So, you know, once again, it comes always down to the system is always getting looked at or seen through one lens, and that's the Caucasian lens. You know, so that's a lot of the problem that we all, you know, fight with. I mean, in anything, education, the way we talk. The way we talk is not the way they talk, but in school, you'll learn them. This is the proper way to do it. You don't do it, you ain't going to graduate. You need to talk like this. You know what I'm saying? The way that we dress a lot of the time, the way we dress is not appropriate. You're going to dress like us because this is the way we're comfortable as dressing. So everything that we do is already, if it's not illegal, then it's frowned upon in society because it's viewed from the same person's lens, and that's the Caucasian. Because when a system is set up, couldn't even consider it as humans. So you can't set up the system for one person, integrate us into this fake society, and when we conform, it's not that we're doing anything wrong. It's not that we're doing, you know, anything bad. It's we live a different way. We have a different view of life than they have. But they try to push us into their direction, and when you feel, because this is who I am, or my way is different than yours, but I'm not doing anything wrong, then you start seeing how society works against you. And, you know, going back to the whole media thing, where, you know, like you said, you watch CNN, and I turned on CNN, I turned on MSNBC a lot. You got to realize the people that's coming on these shows cannot stand up and tell the truth even if they wanted to, because they'll get kicked off, fired, and never asked back. So when you going in watching shows like that, you just got to go in with the reality, like, these people are full of shit. You know, like, if you listen to most of them, majority of them, they all say the same thing. They might have a little different verbiage on it, but a lot of it is all the same thing. Like, oh, we don't want anybody to do this, or, hey, you know, this guy was a criminal. But they're not going deeper into it. Like, yes, what the man did was wrong. But black people have been saying this for years. You know, our anger has been mounting up for years. And we always get told, you know, you'll be all right. Oh, it's nothing that major. Oh, it's nothing that major. And then, you know, when someone goes out and does something about it, then they look at us like we're the enemy. Like, why you just didn't sit there and play nice, little nigga? And they don't work like that. That's not the way the world's supposed to work. You can only fuck people over or make people angry for so long before it boils over. And like you said, you know, right now, only thing that they're really hoping is that it dies down and people's anger stops. But this time, like, I'm hoping that we all, you know, stick to the goal and realize that something needs to change. And we can't get caught up in what they tell us. You want to do something for us, write it down. Put it on paper. Make it a policy. Make it a law. But all this, you know, work on racial, you know, topics, and we going, like, it's too late for that. You know, and that's a lot of the problem. Like, we've been unfairly treated for so long, the only way you'll be able to make it up is you have to make unfair laws in favor of us, but it won't favor them. To balance
right,
out.
Right, right. We've been treated unfairly in America since we got here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is not where we're from, you know? And if you just look at the historical facts, we don't belong in America. Like, we were never meant to be here. You know, our ancestors were never meant to be here. The skills that they took from Africa to build up the land that they profited on were skills that they developed in Africa. You know, Africa, people think now, because there's jungles and stuff and a lot of stuff in Africa, that's how it is. Like, no, Africa was a grassland and was well taken care of, but they stole all the workers and, you know, the landscape went to shit over there. And they used all their skills and knowledge over here and basically grew the cotton, which was the biggest cash crop ever, and built up the country and made the country rich. So we were never meant to be over here. We were supposed to use those skills in Africa and establish and make Africa and continue to keep Africa the richest continent in the world. You know what I'm saying? And slavery, people don't understand, slavery was never meant to go away. You know, they didn't want slavery to stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, people had that idea that they tried to give us that picture and about Lincoln and how he just was so against slavery. It's been documented that Abraham Lincoln has said out his mouth, if he could keep the South happy with slavery and keep the North happy, then he would. But it was just impossible to keep that free labor going and not put the North out of business. You know what I'm saying? That's the only reason slavery ended, was to keep the white people up North working. Otherwise, they whole economy would have went under, because we busting heads down here with free labor, and they went to war over it. As a matter of fact, they held on to their slaves as long as they could. Even after the Civil War ended, Texas was the last state to release its slaves 2 years after the Civil War ended. You know what I'm saying? Texas did not want to give up their slaves. So you can say basically that Texas as a state is pretty much, black people are pretty much 2 years behind the rest of the country. And you could say, you can make the argument that the white people in Texas or 2 years ahead. One might make that argument, you know. Either way, the evidence shows you that they have it out for us. You can look at the prison system, the way the prison system is designed, the way with the free slave, they legalize slavery within the prison system. That's why they throw us in there to get free labor out of us and build and keep the country rich for cheap. They look at the education system they give us. It's garbage. It leads us straight to the prison system. It's all a chess game with these people. They use us as pawns to benefit themselves to have control over us. That's all they want. That's all the enemy. That's all the enemy wants. They use their money to control us, which is basic. Which the money is basically since 1913. The money, because of the Federal Reserve Act, where they established the U.S. Federal Reserve. Our money is basically now meaningless because it's not backed by anything. Before the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, our money used to be backed by gold. Okay, now, if our money is backed by gold, then you can only print so much, and you have to share the wealth because God only put so much gold on this earth. It's a natural resource that's valuable all over the world, which makes sense. So they eliminated that shit, and they just kept printing that money, kept printing that money. Like they're doing right now, as we speak, keep printing out money. That's why they burn money, because there's so much of it. They got so much money, they have to take it and be destroyed and shredded and burn it, because they just keep printing out money, keep printing out money, and they developing so much debt to other countries that it's not enough gold or natural resources in America to pay back that debt that we owe. So America is forever always in debt as of right now. There's no way, unless they discover a shit ton of natural resources, there's no way to get America out of debt. So our money is, as of right now, U.S. currency is forever depreciating and worth zero, basically. So they're pushing, the New World Order is pushing for a world currency where they can control every world bank in the world and basically make one currency. Now listen, you know, we're going to get this free game. They want to make one currency and take over every natural resource to wipe out the debt and control us with that one currency. You know what I'm saying? Us, Africa, London, everywhere. They just want one currency all over the world. That's the goal. You know what I'm saying? Instead of giving people rights and using the natural resource that God gave us as currency, they don't want that. They want to control everything. So that's their goal. And they're using us to wipe each other out through their police departments, through their media brainwashing, through their constant subliminal messaging, through their alcohol, tobacco, food, through their poison in the water. They're killing us slowly through their diseases. It's just so many. They're coming at us so many ways. And if you're a black man and once you take all this in and you realize that should have made you crazy, man. And it's why it's happening right now on these streets of America. It's happening right now.
So what I want to say is, you know, like, so I do not fight for equality, all right? Because I don't think, you know, like, equality is real. You know, just the right? Let's say this war on our hands. You know, I'm going to ask you this question, Doug. When you have a war, then, you know, normally you have an agenda which leads to victory. So, you know, if I went to war for something, then whenever I acquired that, then that means I won the war. Okay? So take this war that we're having right now in Iraq. How do we know that we won that war? Like, what is the
agenda?
There's no agenda, right?
Now, hold on. There's no surface agenda, but their agenda, when they go to war, when America go to war with people, their agenda is to take over their bank. Their world bank.
I can understand that, but I'm saying, like, just from looking in, this war, like, what would be the sign that we won the war? Like, we don't know, right?
Nah, not really.
So when you look at it from that aspect, now look at our war for equality. How will we know when we have equality in the United States? Like, we won't know. You know, so that's why equality is really just a mental construct. I don't preach to fight for equality. I preach for either separation or that we have our own black government so we can separate ourselves from them. You know? And that's not to say whether it's completely or it's economically. Just saying we need some type of separation. I prefer probably economically because then we don't have to go through them to make our own financial gain and make our generational wealth. You know, but the fight for equality, we have to put it in perspective that it's no way you can judge whenever we have equality. You know, you're still going to be trying to work with people who you know are your enemy. My fight is not for equality. I want economic separation so we can pretty much have to go to ourselves. We can depend more on ourselves. We shouldn't have to want to start a business and have to go through them, and the only way we get the business is if we also help them, you know, get financial gain as well.
Right.
So that's kind of how I look at it. You know, so this whole fight for equality, I'm not with fight for equality. We need economic separation from them. Like the way we was headed in Tulsa, Oklahoma before the bombing. That's the goal that we need. We need our own business.
The world would have been completely different if they hadn't bombed Oklahoma. They had deals ready to be set up with Europe, Africa. They had deals ready to move all over the world, man. It's ridiculous.
The thing I don't get, man, is I don't understand how a majority of Caucasians, I got called a racist, I got called a bigot, I got called a liberal, and I don't even know. I got called all this stuff for one question I asked on Twitter. I said, from a Caucasian perspective, is it understandable after the years of mistreatment in the United States that blacks have resentment towards whites? I didn't say that it was good for blacks to kill whites. I didn't say about any of that stuff. I asked that one simple question, and I got plenty of responses, and I promise you, man, nobody said yes. Nobody could just say yes. I got one lady told me, you just a gangbanger trying to kill my kids. And I'm like, what does that got to do with what I asked you, lady? So, I mean, like, these people really, I don't understand how a simple question like that, like, it's clear slavery was wrong. It clear that affects our history, especially when you're black and your mentality. So how can you sit here and tell me that slavery has nothing to do with our current situation right now? It has everything to do with our current situation right now.
Everything, man. Everything.
They try to compare us to the Jews. The Jews were given almost $1 billion to help rebuild their society. We wasn't given that right.
Yeah, they
gave
that right.
I got to
chime in
on this. Did y'all see that that one video where that white woman was, like, speaking in front of a group of white people? As you said, if for a day you could switch your life with a black person and take on all the stuff they take on, would you say yes or no? Raise your hand if you would. No one in the class raised their hand.
Oh, yeah, we know about her.
If you can't say yes, the obvious that shows that you see there's a problem that black people face every day.
Her name is Jane Elliott, and she also got another experiment she does with white people called Brown Eye, Blue Eye, where she get a bunch of Caucasians in a room, well, Caucasians and black people in a room together, and she treats them differently by their eye color. And if you know, they have blue eyes, which most Caucasians have blue eyes, she treats them pretty bad, snappy with them, you know, and, you know, with the other people, the black people, she's more nicer to them and everything like that. And you start seeing the Caucasians crying and tear up and get mad and frustrated, and that's just a class. So imagine being out here in real life having to deal with that on a daily basis.
Yeah, man. Having to live with high blood pressure every day from holding that shit in because you don't want to get shot and killed by the police from telling the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, I was at work today, and the dude asked me, because I'm from Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he was saying, man, what's going on with those riots in Dallas? I couldn't even say what I wanted to say. I just said, I don't know, I was at home. Now, if I say what I want to say, then I probably won't have a job no more. So that's the small version of conforming that we have to do every single day in peace. And it shouldn't be like
I heard something worse at work. This one woman, she told me at work, she said, oh, we need to go back to the 60s, back when there was a hippie movement, everything was about peace and love. And I'm usually quiet and keep to myself at work, but I stopped in mid-typing and said, last time I checked, that was the height of the civil rights movement where a bunch of dogs and water hoses were coming at us. So I don't know what the heck you're talking about. That right there is the exact reason why there's a such thing called Black Lives Matter because people are so oblivious to what happens. When you say a stupid thing like, oh, let's go back to the hippie movement in the 60s, the hippie movement even take place in the late 60s anyway. So that just shows how ignorant she was.
Yeah, man. Like, they just, they was happy back then, so they want to go back to when they was happy. Right now, they're not happy. They edgy right now. They don't know what's going to happen. So they want to go back to when they were just smoking weed and having sex with each other. When we was walking 50 miles a day to work because we couldn't ride the bus. You know what I'm saying? That's what the 60s for black people was.
I had a similar question posed to me where one of my coworkers asked me, well, if you could go back in time, which era would you go to? And I was like, well, damn, I can't go back that far. What am I going to go to? Maybe the back when I was in high school. Other than that, I mean, it's fucked for me. You know, so, I mean, it's like they don't understand. I don't get it. Like, it don't register in their brain how unfairly we've been treated for years. And, you know, that's what, I don't know if they got empathy at all. Well, I guess they do, you know, when it comes to pets and stupid shit. But, you know, other than that, man, I really just don't think there's any way, man, that they'll have empathy for us, you know, as long as we're here on this earth. So that's why I preach to separate economically, of course. That should be our number one goal right now. It's to economically build our dollars, man, so we don't have to worry about them. You know, get our own
right
and everything like that.
Right. We're going to... That's tapping into solution theories. We're going to get into that in the second half of the show, but right now, Cobb, take us into the five-minute break, and then we're going to hit you with the song of the week. When we get back, we go chime in on the nonviolent solutions to this epidemic and give y'all a lot of free game about how to turn the tables against the enemy. So, who you got song of the week, Kyle?
Before I get into song of the week, I want to put out OneUnited.com, which is the black bank. We need it's an online banking system. So, I mean, right now, I know you probably don't want to put all your money in there, but if you can put anything in there, it'll be great. Trying to help us gain our wealth. And we got songs of the week right now called, right now, actually, from Kiara Reeves. Once again, the song is called Right Now from Kiara Reeves.
Niggas like I'm off your feet right now. Once I blow it down, bad bitches gonna speak right now. Right now, and all my bitches gonna eat right now. I got that heat right now. Watch it leak right now. If these niggas ain't that nation, hella weak. Pipe down. Got them plugs melting bricks across the sea right now. Couple bars, call them Zannies. What they name? Pipe down. Right now. Who got that heat right now? Then they sweet. All I do is pop shit. Till I pull up with that black on black Beretta pop shit. All eyes on me like I'm too pop bitch. Black magic on you hoes, got that frost rock shit. And my rock frosty, yellow diamonds around my bezel. Man, my holding mean a change and I'm kinda up in my level. I suggest you get acquainted with Jesus, cause I'm the devil. It's the same that they compare me to Nicki, I'm past that level, But I ain't hating for the shit you saying. Man, I'm cascading these niggas, watch them out and then I'm spraying. Plus I'm back paging these niggas, wanna fuck on bitch. And I'm all about my green and them pies. We Jamaicans got them Haitians. So yeah, you know I'm fucking with them doughs. Got a couple bitches with me interested in them hoes. I ain't with that switcheroo. All I do is change my clothes. I be piped up in the zoo. Just imagine that it's show. When I hear you niggas talking, niggas acting like these hoes. Said my language getting vulgar, get my lingo for my bros. Wasn't good at playing spades, but I know these niggas so. Told my partner follow suit, cause my deck on overload. Niggas know that nation got that heat right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that one. I like that. Who was that, Kyle?
Tierra Reeves, right now. Listen, man, let me show you something again. Call him, so I'm going crazy.
So what now?
To make me feel young again, like I'm in the club going crazy.
Yeah, right now.
I want to thank you, too, for something real quick, man. I want to thank y'all for being one of the consistent media I'm out with to be able to speak for black people and not straying away from shit because they feel like, oh, you know, if I say something, someone they're going to come get me. Like, I appreciate y'all for doing that because it's annoying that I got to turn on my TV and then all of a sudden, all of the two black people that got slain and then some throughout this week have been negated and all they have focused on are police being killed, which don't and negating the fact that why they were killed in the first place.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah, they ain't come get me. I bet they bring me back. They gonna want me. But yeah, man.
That's what we here for, man.
Yeah, man. We got to do it. I mean, everybody can't do a show or whatever, but everybody, if you black, unfortunately, you have a responsibility to yourself, your people, and the future of our race to do something about this injustice that we going through every day. Because I don't want my kids growing up having to go through this. I wish this show wasn't necessary. You know what I'm saying? I wish we didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, hey, it is what it is, and somebody got to step up and do it. Now, what you got, we finna kick it into high gear and get into these solution theories, nonviolent solution theories, because, you know, the violence, we don't condone violence. We're not going to promote violence on our show. And, Kyle, what you got for solution theories right now?
Well, you know, my solution theory is, you know, with the climate we in right now, we're going to have a bunch of black leaders, you know, popping up out the woodworks. And just to let you know, man, you really got to, you know, we got to watch who's going to try to lead us in this time. You know, I personally wish that all black people would just come together and follow Farrakhan, you know, because that's one black man that has been consistent in his message, you know, and
and has the backing to where they know they won't harm him. You know, I know they probably wished multiple times, but that Nation of Islam, they let it be known. You know, any funny play, any foul play go down with the murdering of this man, and you're going to have a problem. So, you know, that's the person that I wish that we all would lead, actually. But, you know, just to kind of, you know, keep it on our minds, man. Like, we need to watch out for a lot of these black leaders that's popping up. If we have new black leaders popping up and they're trying to lead you to the same direction that put us in this situation, like, we need to get the fuck away from them. You know, they can get in the back. You know, unless it's going to be something drastic and different, then we don't need somebody telling us to calm down and, you know, just wait for our enemy to make a plan for us. Like, we don't need that. You know, we need to come together, unite, pick our leader, pick them wisely, and we need to find ways to economic freedom. I've been seeing a lot of us getting into it more online in the social networking era. You know, but we need to continually push that. Like, we could crash a lot of these businesses if we don't spend our money there. The only problem that we're having now is we need to have outlets to show us where we can spend our black dollars at. And, you know, the more we get that, the more we can transfer our wealth, and the more you will start seeing. When we take money away from them, which is their pride and joy, and I mean, they love money more than they love their kids.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say that, man.
Like, once we hit them there, you will see how quickly things change. And the protesting and you know, everything like that, that's cool to show that we are unified and we are going to fight for a cause. But now we need to take it to the second step, and the second step is we need to hit them economically.
Right. Exactly. Now, money, everybody knows, everybody says the money is the root of all evil. But you can have money and be financially rich and not be evil. You know what I'm saying? The love for money is the root of all evil. You can't be scared to stand up for what's right and lose that money. Because I just explained to you earlier, it's not real anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Hello.
The love for money is the root of all evil, and we all know who loves money the most. So ask yourself, are they evil? Is not the stuff that they do, is not the ideas that they come up with, is not the games that they play with your lives and your children's lives and their futures evil? Of course it is. It all goes hand in hand, you know what I'm saying? If you just step back and look at it, you know what I'm saying? Black people are the smartest people in the world. If you put us in any part of the world as a majority, we will survive. Like, we could not go to Europe, bring the Europeans to Africa, make them grow our fields and our land, and expect them 400 years later to still be here. They wouldn't make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that should tell you how strong you are. You know what I'm saying? We couldn't take them out of their comfort zone, force them, beat them, kill them, torture them, humiliate them mentally, physically, spiritually, and still expect them to take care of us and them at the same time. Come on, man. Like, we're the strongest people in the world. We're the smartest people in the world. We're the bravest people in the world. We're the most fearless people in the world. Together, we can do anything. We can be great. We cannot be great. It's going to take us all. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to take everybody. You know what I mean? Even the people.
Man.
What's up?
I got another solution, man. I know this might cause me a little controversy. But another thing we gotta do, man, we gotta let this religion shit go, man. Like, that's stopping us from doing what we need to do out of this fear that we're going through the underworld to burn up. You know, it's like throughout history, man, like that is a crutch, man. That's really harming us, man. Like, every time that we have a chance to where we can do something, like, we do have more empathy than them. We do think about things before we do them more than they do.
you know, we want to love everybody. And, you know, maybe because we get an extra, they're going to give us a day in August. You know, call it, you know, I don't know. Give us a day named after D-Ray or something. You know, then they'd be like, oh, this is for y'all. And then we fall into that trap again. I don't want to be mean, you know, because my God has done this for me. And, you know, we have to get, to be able to get what we need to be, man, like, we really need to go all the way. You know, we have to move that mental roadblock in our head that because we're trying to get our own personal salvation for black people, that you're going to go to hell for I guess I want to say putting the nails in the coffin. Like, we need to go all the way. Now, that don't mean, like Bill said, you know, we're not trying to physically harm anybody or anything like that. But I'm saying a lot of times we move with good intention. Maybe it's time for us to start moving with bad intention as far as our economics and make sure we can cement our own before we try to, you know, try to bow down to them.
Okay, exactly. Now, I'm going to get into this violence real quick. Now, I'm not saying that violence should never be used. I'm saying that violence should only be used as a defensive strategy. We all have to be prepared to defend ourselves against the people who refuse to take us seriously and refuse to respect our human rights. You know what I mean? Like, do not pull your gun or physically harm anybody who's not physically or harming or threatening you, okay? It's not. I'm not saying them hit you in the face and walk away. Like, no, hell no. No, don't do that. You know, you have to defend yourself. Otherwise, they won't respect you, okay? But only use it as a defensive technique. Don't start trouble. You finish it, but don't start trouble, okay? We do not promote violence as a offensive maneuver or even a positive. That is the last resort for survival, you know. And if you're going to be violent, do not be violent to your own people. Please, like, that's the worst thing. Like, you playing right into their hands. Like, you playing their game. Okay, now we got economics. We got the religion. We gave you the terms of violence. And now I propose that I'm calling on all professional athletes, black, white, everybody, you know what I'm saying? Sports, these white people, they love and cherish sports, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about the upper echelon, the one percenters. They have money. There's so much money invested in sports that they wouldn't know what to do if just say one superstar refused to take the court or the field because of the injustices that are going on with us. Just like Muhammad Ali. Now, he didn't box because they was making him go to war, trying to make him go to war, and he stood up for what he felt was right, and they took his title away, and he lost a lot. But his legacy grew, and he never went broke, or he never, you know, was a bum or anything like that. So what I'm trying to say is these athletes get treated better than like royalty out here. And if they exercise their voice, then it has no choice but to be heard. If LeBron James right now said, I'm not playing not one game until a new set of rules, just even in his state, the state of Ohio, a new set of rules in the state of Ohio are made for African Americans. Don't you think that'll get done in less than 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it happen. It happened with the LGBT community in, I think, Charlotte. You know, they was talking about, you know, they was doing a whole bathroom thing, and then I think it was the NFL said, well, if you do this, we're not having a Super Bowl. We're not going to have, you know, none of this stuff down here. And they took that off the table within two, 3 weeks. So, I mean,
you know, my boy.
No, no,
Mello,
what happened in Charlotte? I mean, that's true, but you had it back. Like, Charlotte as a state voted against it. And what happened was the NBA, and they threatened to take away the All-Star game because of that. And Amazon took away their company out of Charlotte, you know what I'm saying, so they could have the LGBT community do what they want. That's what happened. They stood up for the LGBT community, just like they need to stand up for black people. That's what happened in Charlotte.
Well, then we got, you know, Mello. I've been seeing how he's been moving on his social media, and he's trying to raise awareness. And you know, he stated something you know, very specific that, you know, you got to stop worrying about endorsements and start worrying about our people. And you know, I'm hoping that a lot of other athletes looked at that. I know it was a WNBA game tonight. I can't remember which one it was. Now, although they still played, they went out there with Black Lives Matter shirts before the game, and they all stood together in unity. Like, that's fine, you know, but we need further than that. You don't need to go out there to make them any money, and you will see how quick you get things done. That's
exactly.
That's the key.
Like, then what, when you put on them T-shirts and then they still get what they want, they laugh at you.
They don't care.
They do not care. Like, they still getting what they want. Like, they going to say, oh, look at the T-shirts. They so cute. Let's go cash this check. That's all they see. Like, all they see when they look at you on this court in them fields are dollar signs. When LeBron James is dunking basketball, that's just a dollar sign putting a basketball in the damn rim. Like, that's it. Now, if he's not there to dunk that ball, if he's not there to catch them passes, then guess what? What they looking at? Nothing. They losing money. And that's
yeah,
what
if they go out there and not play, and they got to refund the ticket prices, they still got to pay for the stadium upkeep. They operating in the red. That's what you got to understand. That's how business works. They would do anything not to operate in the red. So
exactly.
You know, hopefully, I'm hoping that they don't play the Olympics. You know, and then, you know, when we get to football, it's going to be kind of harder because they have a shorter lifespan, I think, than the NBA. As far as contract and dollars, it's going to be harder for a lot of them to sit out. But if we can start hitting them there and building their own banks, that's the key to success, and you will start seeing things change before the end of the year.
Right,
I'm not saying
it was
a huge level, but you will start seeing them freak out to where they feel like their white economy, all the money that they got in us, because we do spend $1.3 to $1.6 trillion a year on their businesses. If we can put that into us, and they start seeing that we starting to have the intellect and the intelligence to bond together and realize who the real enemy is, then you're going to start seeing a huge difference. You'll start seeing policy. You start seeing different police tactics. You start seeing a whole lot of different things that will actually benefit us. You might even see programs that, like I was saying earlier, that will be just for African Americans. So until you start seeing that, we need to continue to fight. We need to continue to build our economy regardless on what they do. And, you know, that's my whole solution.
Exactly. I mean, shit, what's time we got? I mean, getting a long time. But in conclusion, go ahead and just wrap up the show. We gave you a list of solutions. One, we gave you the bank. We gave you a good, solid bank.
OneUnited.com.
You can log on there and put some change in there. And what that does is, let me break it down real quick. That does, like, when you put money in a bank, they can use that money to provide loans for people of color to get houses and get businesses. So you're not just putting your money in there thinking it's not doing nothing. Your money is providing significant resources for other people, you know. So you're not gonna lose your money, but this is just how banks work. They use your money to finance other people, and they pay that money back, and business continues to flow through black hands and black hands only. So that's why you're putting your money in that bank. They have different types of, if you go on there, you'll see that they have different types of funds, different types of accounts set up, and you can read more into it. It's not hard at all, people. Just take heed to what we're saying. Okay, so we got the banks. Put your money in the bank, in the black bank, You ain't got to do all your money. Just something. The religion. You can look more into your religion and understand how they use it as a tool against us to keep us from fighting back and to keep us compliant. Now, it's okay for them to be violent and evil, but it's not okay for us. You know, my comments, my spidey senses tell me that that's bullshit. Now, Banks' religion, unity of the athletes in the upper echelon of the African-American entertainers and athletes stick together. And then the non-violence, we showed you how and not to be violent, you know, only use violence as a defensive countermeasure to prevent you from going down. You know, do not use it as an offense. Do not be a troublemaker. You're smarter than them. You're smarter than them. You're stronger than them. I'm going to keep saying it. I don't care if I sound like a broken record or not. It's the truth. And they know it. So that's why they play these chess games to keep us back. Now, hopefully, you know, I wish you had more time, but I just, you know, hopefully you learned something from this show, and I hope you enjoy listening to us as much as we enjoy giving it to you. Shout out to myself, Cobb, Steady J, Bot Radio, Blog Talk Radio. We really appreciate you guys. We'll be pushing this show for the next all week, and we'll keep you posted through Facebook. Follow us on Facebook, True Colors on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and Twitter at True Colors Podcast on Twitter. And Cobb, you got anything before we sign out?
Yeah, I want to give another shout out, and thanks for all the support I've been getting, and I'm listening to all the music everybody's sending me to try to get them played. So I just want to give a shout out once again to Kiara Reeves with her song Right Now, and you can find her on Twitter at I Yam Nation, and that is at I Y A M N A T I O O A L. And that's all I got, man. Thank you, everybody, for listening, yo.
All right, we out, and remember, together, if we stand together, it's 100% chance that we undefeated. Thank you.
Yeah.
Today, our people can see that we're faced with a government conspiracy. This government has failed us. The senators who are filibustering concerning your and my rights, that's the government. Don't say it, Southern senators. This is the government. This is a government filibuster. It's not a segregationist filibuster. It's a government filibuster. Any kind of activity that takes place on the...